At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
You're listening to Awaken to Deliver, a podcast from Awakened Bible Ministries, created to inspire believers to wake up to God's truth and live boldly for Christ. Today, Jeff Fish continues exploring the fruit of self-control. Yesterday, we unpacked the spiritual nature of self-control, how it's not about willpower, but about surrender to the Holy Spirit. Today, we go deeper by learning how self-control is applied to every area of our lives, especially in guarding the entry points to our hearts, minds, and souls. Our key verse for today is Proverbs 4:23, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." Now, let's join Jeff for today's message.
Hello, my friends, and welcome back to Awaken to Deliver. Yesterday, we talked about the spiritual nature of self-control, that it's not about trying harder, it's about surrendering deeper. But now we need to talk about where that surrender gets tested. At the gates. The places in our life where things enter in and flow out. And today's key verse is Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. And it tells us exactly why this matters. It says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life." In other words, if you don't guard what goes in, you won't like what comes out. Your life flows from your heart. Your decisions, your words, your responses, they're all downstream from what's entering your heart. And your heart has gates. Your eyes, your ears, your mouth, your mind, and your emotions. These gates are access points, and whoever controls them influences the direction of your life. Let's start with your eyes. Psalms chapter 101, verse 3 says, "I will set no worthless thing before my eyes." That's a choice. That's a self-control. Because what you see shapes what you desire. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, "The eye is the lamp of the body. What you watch, you absorb. What you absorb, you desire. And what you desire, you eventually pursue." If we're not practicing self-control with our eyes, we are leaving the door wide open for temptation, lust, envy, and distraction. Some of us are struggling with coveting, not because we lack contentment, but because we binge on images of lives that we don't live and things that we don't have. Some of us are battling lust because they feed their flesh with entertainment that numbs conviction and awakens appetite. Guarding your eyes doesn't make you legalistic, it makes you free. Next, we have our ears. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, "Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." That means what you listen to either builds your faith or feeds your flesh. Some of you are trying to live a life of peace, but you've filled your ears with negativity, gossip, perversion, and fear-based media. Don't be surprised when your spirit feels polluted. What you allow in through your ears is forming the soundtrack of your soul. It's not just about music or podcasts. It's conversations too. Are you listening to people who call you higher or people who keep you carnal? Self-control says, "I can't let just anyone speak into my life." It says, "I'm not entertaining gossip. I'm not absorbing drama. I'm not giving access to voices that pull me away from God." Now, the next one is your mouth. And Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Now that's serious. What you say doesn't just reflect your heart. It creates an atmosphere. Your words can either stir up peace or provoke chaos. They can encourage or they can destroy. James chapter 3, verse 2 tells us, "If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to rein in the whole body as well." Isn't that wild? James says that your mouth is the steering wheel of your life. If you can control your tongue, everything else will follow. But that's the catch. Our words are often the hardest things to control because they come straight from the emotions that we have and our pride. Self-control over your mouth means learning when to speak and when to stay silent. It means resisting the urge to clap back, to defend yourself, to gossip, or to unload your frustrations just because it feels justified. And then we have our minds. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 gives us the filter. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, think about these things. But why? Because your thoughts shape your beliefs, and your beliefs shape your behavior. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 tells us to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. That is war language, because the battlefield of self-control is won or lost in the mind. What thoughts are you allowing to roam free? Are you letting anxiety take over? Are you nursing offenses? Are you replaying old wounds on a loop? Because self-control means that you don't let your thoughts run wild. You arrest them. You bring them into submission and into truth. That doesn't mean that you'll never be tempted. It means that when the thoughts come, you don't let it set up camp. You respond with the word. You speak truth to the lies. You cut off toxic thought patterns before they take root. And finally, we have your emotions. This might be the hardest one of all, because emotions feel real. They feel urgent, but they are not always truth, and they are not always the voice of God. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11 says, "A fool always loses his temper, but a wise person holds it back." That's self-control. You don't have to act on every emotion that you feel. You can feel it without obeying it. You can acknowledge it without letting it drive your behavior. Anger is not always sin, but what you do with it can be. Sadness is not sin, but how you respond to it can lead to numbness, isolation, or self-medication. Self-control doesn't mean that you suppress your emotions. It means that you submit them to the Spirit and you let God interpret them. You let His word shape your response. And here's the thing. When you start guarding these gates with self-control, everything is going to change. You begin to feel stronger in your spirit. You're not as easily shaken. You're more aware of what's trying to enter in and pull you off course. You start to live watchful, intentional, and rooted, because you're no longer letting just anything into your life. And do you know what the enemy fears most? A believer who guards their gates. A believer who doesn't need the world's entertainment to stay happy. A believer who isn't controlled by their feelings. A believer who filters their thoughts through the word. A believer who can't be baited into arguments, distracted by drama, or seduced by comparison. That kind of believer is dangerous to the kingdom of darkness, because they're not living on autopilot. They're living on assignment. So maybe today the Holy Spirit is putting His finger on one of your gates. Maybe it's what you've been watching. Maybe it's how you've been speaking. Maybe it's the thoughts that you've been entertaining or the emotions that you have been feeding. He's not doing it to shame you. He's doing it to free you. This is a call to take back the gates. And here's how you start. Number one, identify what's open. Ask Holy Spirit to show you which gates you've left unguarded. Number two is repent. Confess the areas where you have allowed access to the enemy. There's no freedom without honesty. Number three is rebuild. Get into the Word. Let truth become your filter. Set boundaries around what you see, what you hear, and how you speak. Number four is invite accountability. You don't need to walk this alone. Let someone walk it with you, someone who will call you higher. And number five, ask for the Spirit's help. Self-control isn't self-made, it's Spirit-grown. So as you practice guarding the gates, you're not just protecting yourself. You're creating a life that hosts God's presence. A life that's hard for the enemy to infiltrate. A life that reflects the authority and maturity of someone who is walking by the Spirit. So today, ask yourself, what have I allowed through my gates that needs to be shut down? And what would my life look like if I truly guarded what entered? Now, tomorrow, we will take this even further as we explore how self-control impacts our relationships, how it empowers us to respond with wisdom, grace, and restraint in a world that is driven by offense and impulse. So until next time, stay faithful, stay bold, and remember that you too have been awakened to deliver.
Thank you for listening to Awaken to Deliver. We pray today's message has encouraged and equipped you to walk boldly with Christ. Want more content like this? Click the link tree in the podcast description. There you'll find access to all of Awakened Bible Ministries' social platforms, plus a link to Jeff's devotional book, 30 Days of Patience. If this podcast has been a blessing to you, we'd love for you to leave a rating and review. It helps more people find this message of freedom, faith, and encouragement. Awaken to Deliver is entirely listener-supported. If you'd like to partner with this ministry, you can give a one-time gift through Cash App, Venmo, or PayPal, or become a monthly supporter through Patreon. All partnership options are available through the link tree. Together, your support helps spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Join us again tomorrow as we keep diving into God's Word together.